Dear Lord, we're thankful for your promise of sending your Spirit here to be with us, and we're thankful we can gather together as a family with friends and visitors and worship you this morning. We're thankful for the Sabbath, Lord, and we do ask your blessing on us. We ask this in your name, amen. Happy to visit with you this morning, church family and visitors and friends. The name of my sermon is Trust, Not Courage. I enjoy children and had lots of them, I guess. So it's good. I like children, I guess.
You can say that.
Yeah, I can be more free, actually. My wife's not here today, so I can kind of say it really how it is, you know. When my kids were little, they'd be out in the barn with me, and I'd set them up on some bales that were maybe 8 or 10 feet high, you know, and they were 3 or 4 years old, and I'd tell them to jump off, you know, and jump into my arms, and the idea was to always get a little higher, you know, and till, you know, they were coming down like a rocket from about 15 feet, you know, and they were sure I was going to catch them, you know. It didn't take a lot of courage on their part, however, to jump off and think I was going to catch them. It wasn't like they were super brave. The reason they did it so easily was because I'd caught them every time. You know, it's not... doesn't take a lot of courage, you know. My dad's going to catch me. And that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. For us to be sure of him, sure of what he's going to do, sure that he's going to help us, sure that he's going to rescue us. Not kind of thinking that, well, you know, God, maybe this time he's not going to be there, actually, you know. No, actually, he is. Every single time. Story today about that we're going to think about, really, is about Gideon. And Gideon was, it says that he and his family were of not in a high position. Just like Elijah's family last week wasn't really in a high position. There was something remarkable about his family, though. And that was that they were known for having great courage in battle. In fact, it says in Patriarchs and Prophets that the people that were constantly oppressing Israel at this time, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other desert marauders who'd come and wait till harvest and come and steal the crops, bring all the cattle and sheep and goats and everything with them, and run through the crops that were ready to be harvested. It says they were really, really in distress over these people that would come and take charge of the countryside at harvest. And I mean, they would come when everything, just like we know here, sweet corn and peaches come at a different time than pumpkins and, you know, winter squash. They didn't just come once a year and do their stealing and, you know, oppressing the Israelites. They came on a regular basis. If there was anything good to be had, they were there. And obviously the Israelites did battle with them a few times. And all of Gideon's brothers were killed in different battles. And you notice that when the angel came, Gideon was praying about the fact that his country was so oppressed. Where are you, Lord? You know, we need you. It makes mention that Gideon, mighty man of valor. And there's a reason for that. Again, it says in Patriarchs and Prophets that actually the Midianites and Amalekites had some fear of Gideon. They didn't want to come up against him in battle. So this is a man of courage. Obviously, if they were a little bit afraid of him, even though they were vastly outnumbered the majority of the time, the Israelites, they were a little bit afraid of Gideon. They knew they were up against someone who in battle was to be feared. Well, God told him, I'm going to deliver you out from under this oppression. I'm going to deliver the Israelites, and I'm going to do it through your hand. Gideon didn't hesitate. All right, hey, that sounds like the Lord we've been waiting for. There was a reason they were being oppressed. They'd gone into idolatry. They'd put things in their life and other gods before the true God. Gideon was, however, hadn't bent the knee to Baal, the god of that time, or the god of the Amorites, Amalekites, Midianites, nothing. He hadn't bent the knee. His father had, however. His father's name was Joash. And his father, in their town, had built an altar to Baal. And in the morning, the people from the town would come and worship at that altar. The first thing Gideon was supposed to do was to take down his father's altar. And if you read through Judges 6 and 7 and 8 in this story, he was a little afraid to take down this altar. He did it at night. Let's see if we can. He got his servants together and said, we're going to take this altar down, but we're going to use the element of surprise. We're going to tear this thing down and we're going to erect one to the true God, an altar to the true God. Well, the men came to worship at this altar of Baal in the morning, and they were furious. And they came and confronted Joash, and everybody knew it was Gideon. And they came and confronted Joash, and Joash said to these infuriated mob, well, if Baal's so powerful, why didn't he do something about it when his idol was being, you know, destroyed? If he's so powerful, why didn't he do something? Why does he need you to do anything? You know, and it says that the mob basically was calmed, you know, and kind of saw the logic of Gideon's father. Well, it wasn't long before Gideon called an army, and it said these same men from Ophrah responded to Gideon's call. We're going to go up against these Midianites, and we're going to throw this bondage, this yoke of bondage off. They responded, and so did the men from four other tribes came and responded to this call. 32,000 men showed up. There was a stream and a valley, and the army of Gideon, 32,000 men, were on one side and over 120,000 Midianites on the other, including their princes. We know the story. God said to Gideon, you got too many fellows here. We've got to pare this down, or Israel's going to think they did it. And that's how God handles it with us sometimes. He waits till our resources have run out, till our ideas, our analyzing the situation, and then he steps in so that we'll know it's God and we'll know we can trust him. And this is what the story was with Gideon. Hey, you got too many people. Tell everybody who's afraid. The rule in Israel, the policy, I'll call it, in Israel at that time was when you gathered all the men for battle, you said to them, if anybody here has built a house and hasn't inhabited it yet, go home so that nobody, if you get lost in battle, nobody else is going to inhabit that home. If you are engaged to be married, go home so that someone else won't marry the woman you are going to marry, and so on. And there were, if you planted a vineyard and you've not eaten any grapes from that vineyard yet, go home. You don't have to be part of this battle. But Gideon had neglected to make that call once he got his army together because he thought he had few enough men already that, you know, I'm going to skip that part, really. It'd be like me thinking, you know, I'm going to plant 500 acres of corn and I think I'll take my two biggest tractors and put them in the shed and put a tarp over them and we'll do it. We'll do it with a couple of old two-cylinder John Deere's. You know, we're going to put in 500 acres of corn. You know, yeah, okay. Probably not. Well, that's what he told him to do. Make the call. Tell them if they're afraid or have any of these other issues, they need to head for home. 22,000 headed home. And as Gideon's knees were shaking, I'm sure, God came to him again and said, now listen, you got too many soldiers here, too many warriors. Tell them to come across this brook. And they were thinking that when he told them to cross the stream, they were going to attack the Midianites. That's what the men thought. And as they crossed, 9,700 of them got on their hands and knees and drank like a dog. 300 scooped the water in their hands as they went through, took a drink, and moved on. They were ready for battle. Gideon dismissed the 9,700. You fellows, you're all set. Head for home. There's another significant thing. Again, it says in Patriarchs and Prophets that the 300 were left with Gideon had never bowed the knee to Baal. That's who God wanted to work through. Those who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Those who hadn't allied themselves with the Canaanites. Those who'd stayed true to God. Now don't think for a minute. Did he dismiss the 9,700? You betcha. He dismissed the 9,700. But he had fear. Nonetheless. And it said that night that God directed him to go down to the edge of the Midianite camp where their tents were. And he and his servant went down there. And they listened. And there were two men talking in a tent. And one said, I just had a dream. A barley loaf came rolling down the hill and just overran the camp. Knocked the tents down. And the other guy said, that can't be anybody but Gideon and his men. And that was, I think, a fearful Gideon. Didn't mean that he wasn't going to obey, but a fearful Gideon getting some assurance from God. God, in his mercy, giving Gideon some assurance. It's all right. I got to tell you, you know, if anybody thinks that you could take 300 men with torches and trumpets and everything and surround this body of 120,000 soldiers plus and have them all just about annihilate each other and then head on the run, that it didn't also take the power of God? Gideon knew that that was God's plan, all right, but it also took the power of God. It wasn't like, hey, we got this really cool plan. You know, again, back to the, I'm going to put in 500 acres of corn with a couple of old tractors. It's great. Hey, I know, we could, you know, and come up with this really good plan. Yeah, well, that's a nice plan. But you might need a little more help than that. It was a good plan. It did throw the fear of the Midianites into the Israelite army. They did destroy each other. Into the Midianite army, that's right. They did destroy each other. They were in such disarray, you know, when the torches came out and the trumpets and everything. They did start fighting in the dark. And they eventually went on the run. And the men who were dismissed then joined in the rout of the Midianites. And it said they never again bothered the Israelites because they were so utterly defeated. They never bothered the Israelites again, the Midianites. You know, we have battles to fight. We have personal battles. God is impressing us. I heard Clark in Sabbath school talking about some personal battles that he had with alcohol and tobacco or whatever. And that it was God who helped him through that. And he gave the credit to God for that. He understood that. Tremendous battles. We have battles. We have people that oppose us for various things. But we have a God we can trust. He has a plan. It's a plan that's going to work. Doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth. It means that He can give us the strength, the trust, and the courage, if need be, to follow Him and the plan He's laid out for us. I'm thankful that we can trust God with the little things. You know, Gideon trusted God to put the fleece out. Well, I want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. And that'll be a sign, Lord, that this really is, you know, an angel telling me this. But then he felt a little bad about it and said, you know, wool draws moisture. You know, this could be maybe just a coincidence. Lord, tomorrow morning I want that wool to be dry and the ground to be wet, and we know it was. He wasn't distrusting God, he was looking for... And he asked even, the second time he prayed, he said, Lord, please forgive me, but I need to be sure that it's you that's given me this message. He had evidence that God was leading him. From the fleece to the dream where the barley loaf was coming down the, tumbling down the hill, he had evidence. He was praying when the angel came to him originally. And he wanted the angel to eat with him. And Gideon prepared a meal, poured the broth over the meal. The angel burned it up without touching it and was gone. As a sign to him, this really was an angel, you know. So he had several things that he could point to as he went up there on the hills surrounding that valley with his 300 men. Okay, well, God, you know, he showed me here, and he showed me there, and he showed me again here. I guess I can do this with my torch raised high and like I really mean it. I can trust the God that gave me this message. And the God we worship is the same one who gave him tremendous victory. It's the same one who's just as willing to give us as we pray about things. You know, it says, call on the name of the Lord, and I will show you great and mighty things. You know, trust him with some small things. See if he won't be there. And build on that. Build on that. Know that you can depend, trust your life in God's hands every day, regardless of the circumstances. Know that we have a God we can trust. Dear Lord, we do have an anchor. Pray that we're fastened to the anchor that will hold, that's sure, that can't be moved. We thank you, Lord, for the promises you've given us. Pray that we'd claim them every day. We ask this in your name, amen.